K-E-H, K-E-8-R-U-H, W-8-R-C-Y. You out there, Anthony? W-8-R-C-Y, clear and standing by.
Good morning, Donald. N-8-W-R-O, Richmond. How's it going?
It's starting to settle down after the two-week holiday. Even though I'm retired, getting too old to crisscross the state and bonsai runs to Chicago and things like that that I did. And, just winding down right now and getting back to some form of retirement abnormality.
Oh, yeah. I hear you. It's pretty much like I am, too. This year was new. I got to go to the grandkids' house over Ann Arbor area, and that actually worked out a lot better. I think we're going to kind of do that instead of having the whole gang come back to the homestead here. It's just a lot for them, and also Papa doesn't have to decorate as much. I don't have to put up a tree or anything like that, so there's that, too.
Well, I didn't decorate at all this year, just not in the mood for it. It's been a long, rough year with my health and some other things, and so I just was not in the mood, and we traveled up to Forester, 38 miles north of Port Huron, where my significant other's parents live, and they're getting up there in age, 80 and 77, and this was like the last year we just did it big, and I mean, in the future, my lady and myself will go up there and see them. But, it was just that way. And they got a nice home on Lake Huron up there. So it was nice, but it was quiet. But in between of between the two holidays, we just had myself. I had to see my sister in Highland. Did a road trip to Chicago to see Trans-Siberian Orchestra West Tour the day after Christmas. And then the day after that, the Saturday, the Trans-Siberian Orchestra East Tour performed at Little Caesars Arena. Both tours do two shows, so we did four shows in like a whirlwind of about 48 hours. And I'm just getting too old for that stuff. I'm not too old for the music and the entertainment, but just the travel.
Copy that. I'm with you on that as well. I mean, I would love the music, like you said. That would be right up where I would enjoy that. But just the traveling, not into it as much. The daughter used to be in New Jersey for a while, and then a few years before that, she was actually in the Boulder, Colorado area, which we went out there to see her and all that. But and you know, you do it for family. But I'm very happy she's right over there in Washtenaw County now. And the son's out in Tacoma, Washington. I'm sorry, that's just too long of a trip. I'm not going to go out there anytime soon. I'll pay for him to come back over here.
I had to make an adjustment to my radio. It was in scan. I almost keyed up on the UMP. Too early in the morning. My oldest daughter is, how do I put this? One daughter is mine, one is not mine, but in my name. It's about the best way I can describe it. I need coffee. She's out in Vegas, and she's a doctor out there, and she tries her best to get here during the holidays, but she's also trying to allow other people to get to their families as well. So this year she volunteered to stay behind and not come out. And she asked me, Dad, is it okay? I said, yeah, don't worry about it. She said, well, I'll come out around Easter. I'm putting in for 2 weeks at Easter. And I said, that's fine. Your present will sit here on the shelf, collect dust. You know, the bowl will be all dusty and all this and that. But, you know, we'll see. We fully understand, or I fully understand. But, her life work is what she does. And that takes priority over anything for personal family reasons. But, so... it's just me, my significant other, her parents, and three golden retrievers spending a lot of time up in Forest for 2 weeks with some travel in between. That's the overall consensus. Excuse me for 1 second. Anthony, are you on the road? K-E-A-R-U-H. Are you on the road? Okay, Jim, go ahead.
Well, don't leave me in suspense. You give him a road report? What'd you hear?
Westbound 696, west of the, or near the Quinder overpass. I don't know if it's west of it or not. He bails just before that exit ramp. There's a, like a service drive exit ramp to the old 11 mile road. And that's where he gets off at. The accident started at the top of the hour, and traffic might just back up on him when he gets around Mound or something. Maybe he might even back up to Van Dyke by the time he comes through there. I just wanted to give him a heads up. I kind of listen for that kind of stuff if, you know, Sean, Dakota, things like that, because I'm just sitting here. I just got out of the shower about a half hour ago. I'm up at 5. And, yeah, so I'm just trying to be, you know, just courteous and help the guys out.
Yeah, that's right. I've heard you do that a couple times before, because you know their drive time and you know their path into work, so that's quite helpful. Yeah, we were at a meeting last night. Sean was there. It's the first time I've been at the Warren City Center Library. Man, that's a nice facility down there. But, yeah, I had to come from up here, Richmond area, and it took me down to 32 over to Van Dyke all the way south. And that worked out fine. I kind of zigzagged on the way home. I went a different route. But, yeah, no, it's a nice facility down there. I haven't been in that area in Warren in a long time.
Sean and I live about a half a mile or so from each other, and I grew up in St. Clair Shores, so the city of Warren is, you know, like halfway between where I was and where I am now. I mean, well, Warren's right across the street because I'm right on the border of Macomb and Oakland County, you know. So I'm familiar with Warren very much so. And the community center or whatever you call it, civic center there in Warren, that's the little mini castle that Fouts, the former mayor, built. And that's his little thing, you know. So it is what it is, but yeah, I'm familiar with the area and the GM Tech Center. I got a couple of family members that work there, you know, cousins or my brothers, one of my brother's kids, and then somebody else associated with the family that we know works there. So, and then I got a nephew who's a lawyer for GM, and I guess he's moving to the new Hudson's building pretty soon. So, yeah, that's about it, though, on my end. But like I said, yeah, I'm just, like I say, just getting my day going, and the radio is usually on from 5 a.m. to 9 p.m. I just updated my thing on Discord about it. Yep, 5 a.m. to 9 p.m. are my business hours, so to speak. Sometimes I start a little early. At my age and stuff, I've had enough radio. If you can't get a hold of me in about 16, 17 hours' time, you're not going to get a hold of me, so... Back to you.
Yeah, I typically get up early too, but lately it's been like a 4 a.m. rise time, which means that I want to go back to bed, but I don't like to, sometimes I don't like to miss, you know, Sean's drive time, you know, the crew, and just listen to what's going on, but lately I've probably been missing that because my second shift I get up a little bit later, but yeah. I usually monitor 7.2 FBI and statewide 1 for ARPS, and then do a lot of the, I call it desk duty for them. So, yeah, it's kind of fun. But I appreciate it, Donald. I'll be listening, but I'll let you go for now. We'll listen for the guys, and then you can get a hold of Anthony. This is NAWRO, Tim in Richmond, and I will be clear after your final, sir. Have a good one, Donald.
Yeah, I pretty much monitor the same things. I have an attachment to the Troy 575 GMRS repeater, but as far as anything else GMRS, no, I don't get involved with that anymore. 2 meter, Nah, I listen to it on one of my radios because I have a dual bander. And that whole crosstalk thing, you know, you transmit on one, receive on the other, that doesn't interest me. I'm just strictly a UHF guy, and I've been that way since 1978 when I first got my first GMRS radio. And then I switched to commercial radio for racing purposes and things like that. So, and like I said, I don't know if you know this or not, but I've only had my ham ticket for about 15, 16 months now, so. Yeah, so all that new technology I got to learn and keep up, though. Try to keep up with the Joneses, I don't know. But it is what it is. All right, pleasure talking to you. If you're out on the road today, be safe. It's supposed to be, I guess, a little rain, snow mix, and we'll catch up with you later. WARC, wait a minute. WARCY is my call sign. I know it. I'll figure it out. We're clear. Unless Anthony's out there.
Hey, apparently not yet. Have a good one, Donald. NHWRO, clear but listening.
KUWH.
There you are. I've been trying to get a hold of you for about a half hour. W8RCY, I had a traffic update for you, but you're probably past my point.
I've had the radio on. I didn't hear you calling out. I'm on DeQuinder right now. So DeQuinder and 12 Mile.
Okay, so you're sandwiched between me and Sean. That's kind of scary. No, I tried calling you just after 6 o'clock because right there at DeQuinder there was an accident and traffic was starting to back up, and I was just giving you a heads up that, you know, traffic might be backing up around, you know, maybe Mound or something as you were approaching that 11-mile ramp. Just trying to do my civic duty to give you a heads up, but you weren't on early enough. So, but it sounds like you made it through okay, and you're heading north to Troy.
Yep, 6 o'clock's a little earlier than I'm usually in the car. I'm in the car between 6:10 and 6:20 usually.
Okay, I'll keep it in mind. You know, I kind of know your route. Sean takes a couple of different routes. I got Dakota's route pretty well figured out. So while I have WWJ on in the morning, traffic reports every few minutes, watching the television, watching their traffic reports, I have a pretty good idea. And if I hear something going on in your area or the other guys' areas, I'll just give my heads up. So that's about it, but that's the only thing I needed to let you know this morning. Other than that, I'm just getting back. You know, retirement abnormality after 2 weeks of crazy holiday stuff.
Yep, I hear you. Well, thanks for the attempted traffic update. I appreciate it.
Never a problem. I'm usually up at 5 in the morning and in and out of the shower and then fumbling, getting coffee together, and the timer on my coffee thing broke, so I got to either buy a new one or just continue to do it manually in the morning instead of at night. But, it's not a problem. I got nothing better to do. And if I can benefit somebody, especially in bad traffic when the weather's bad, I mean, my God, the East Coast is getting pounded. There's like 3-4 feet of snow out there towards the coastline of New York, and that just missed us, so. It's my little 2 cents worth of keeping people abreast of what's going on, so I don't mind doing it.
Cool. Yeah, usually I have Waze on, and it's pretty good. Gives me the traffic update, but every now and again, it fails me, so any extra information is always appreciated. KE8RUH.
I'm going downriver. What do you got for me?
Oh, of course. The day that I work in the office very past my house.
As of 10 minutes ago, I have nothing for you. And I'm almost to the point where I'm done watching and listening to that stuff. I listen to it for about an hour, because that's about all I can take of the news in the morning, TV or radio. Give me my news, weather, traffic, sports, and then I'm done. I shut everything down, and I go back to radio and music.
No news is good news, I'll take it. And Anthony, I'm going downriver, downriver. Like Romulus, Wayne, Hamtramck, downriver.
Do you guys have a site down there, or what are you doing down there?
We have a transfer station in 3 yards, and I'm hanging TVs at all of them. Don't ask how I got sucked into doing this.
Amtramck's not downriver.
You need some more people below you, Dakota. I thought you were, I thought you got the title. Did you not get the subordinates yet?
Unfortunately, like most places, the title just means more responsibility. No subordinates yet, nor would I trust any IT subordinates to hang TVs.
Oh, I could talk about the subordinate stories of my time when I worked with Verizon. I mean, I started in tech and doing installs and worked my way up to management. But, you know, as I worked further away, my way up, less physical work but more responsibility work as far as the operations and corporate stuff. So, yeah, I put me, I mean, if I wasn't so old now, because I joined Verizon in my 40s, but, yeah, I don't see myself crawling up underneath dashboards to put ProFit install kits. Back when you had a cradle to charge your phone with, and I'm talking the early 2000s, even before smartphones and digital.
Yeah, Dakota, I can imagine it's, what you could probably do in a couple hours, it would take a team of level one or level two guys 2 days to install. They'd be pulling wire for hours and all kinds of silly stuff. So I can imagine it's beneficial for you to get it done yourself. Other than now you're going to be an hour and 20 minutes from home, in traffic on the way home most likely.
'Fortunately, it's just hanging a TV, literally just the TV, putting a little digital signage box on it, and this is falling on my plate because our marketing guy just is basically an immature kid, doesn't really understand that things need to get done when they need to get done, and he's had about a year and a half to knock this out, and I'll have it done in 2 days.
Again, my time with this stuff was in the 80s, mid-80s, and at Verizon when we were doing these install kits, the batteries were moved on General Motors products, especially Cadillacs, to underneath the rear seat, and we bring in these young kids who have gone to, I can't even remember the name of the trade school, but there was a trade school back then that taught electronics, and kids were coming out of that, and guys under the hood, I said, what are you doing under the hood? He says, I can't find the battery. And I said, the battery's not under the hood. He goes, where is it? And I says, you don't know where the battery is? He goes, no, I don't see it anywhere here. Unless it's under a hood or a cover. I said, no, it's up underneath the rear seat. And then you got to teach them not to wire the wiring for the cell phone anywhere close or near the airbags. Because if you blow an airbag, Verizon's got to pay for it. And we had a couple of guys that did that. And it's like, what did we tell you? Do not, this is the side of the fuse box you can work. This is the side of the fuse box you got to stay away from. Well, some people are dyslexic and they've blown some airbags. So I understand the frustration, Dakota. Anthony, over to you.
On a different note, Dakota, I ended up buying some ditch lights and the magnet mounts. I'm going to wire them into my car soon to see if I can get a little more light when I'm up north and stuff. It'll be cool. I just got to figure out what kind of connectors I want to use, because the connectors will be exposed to the elements basically all the time. So I got to figure out what, if there's like waterproof sleeves for Andersons, or if there's a different connector that I should be using. What do you think?
Yeah, Donald, I'm not looking forward to having underlings, and I really don't want them. Unless they're mine, but I don't really have to manage them. Like, they kind of just go do what they're supposed to do kind of deal. I really don't want level one techs that I got to babysit. Babysit enough. So, I don't know. I'm fine with doing things on my own. I literally left. I got these orders yesterday at like 10 a.m., and I was installing my first TV by 1 after going to Best Buy and buying 6 of them. So, I'll keep trucking by myself, and it seems to be way more efficient. Anthony, I just put a light bar and pod lights on my four-wheeler, and they came with a harness. So you should have a harness with waterproof fittings.
Yeah, it came with a harness. I got to look at it. I just want them to be easy on, easy off, because I'm not going to leave them on all the time, most likely.
Go ahead, you called. I'll let you answer them.
All right, the harnesses that came with mine are like a little tab that you pick up and you can unplug them, so they're not permanently affixed. I lied. The light, so if you look at the picture, they're saying the light bar is on a harness. The pods, I cut out the factory headlight housings, and then I spliced in the pigtail. I lied. No, those are on a pigtail too. So they came with the whip out of the light and a pigtail with the correct connector and then bare wire. And what I did was I spliced in the bare wire so I could still just unplug those if I want to. I imagine whatever you bought comes with the same thing.
Yeah, most likely. I haven't even really taken it out of the box. I've been so busy. And then I got the magnets while I was up north over the weekend. So I just got to spend some time. Maybe I'll pull my car in the garage tonight and mess around with it. We'll see what happens.
Getting back in. Dakota, yeah, you were talking about, you know, level one technicians and things like that. When I worked with Moda, when I worked with I can't talk. I was working for Verizon. I had to get a level two certification with Motorola. That expired many, many years ago. Because I was with Verizon from 2000 through about 2013, 2014. But, yeah, it's just like I said, you get these young kids that think they know it all and all this and that, and it's like, you know, the experience weighs out over, you know, degrees and paper and things like that. You know, college kids, no matter what industry you're in, I mean, like I said, I'm an old butcher meat cutter, and I have an actual journeyman certification. And you walk into a grocery store today, and if I brought a hindquarter in, and these young guys that are working in meat departments, unless they're old school from their father, they wouldn't be able to break down a hindquarter and merchandise it properly, because everything comes prepackaged now. And it's just, plug and play for electronics. So a lot has changed, or I've seen a lot of things change, you know, in the last 51 years since I've been out of high school, how things are, you know, organized with staff. Go ahead, Dakota.
Yeah, a lot of it is just labor saving, right, because of that. The talent and the work ethic is all dying or going away or focused on other things, or I would say going away, because Gen Z just seems to be completely worthless. I have two sisters in that generation. I look at them and I go, you guys are the downfall of society. And they're very smart. Like, one of them is very well-to-do, but, like, just doesn't know how to do much. And I think that's kind of across the board. So these companies are like, all right, screw it. We'll do this stuff here, ship it to them, and all these idiots have to do is put it on the shelf. That goes for a lot of things. That's why a lot of these, pretty much anything you buy now, like you said, is for the most part plug and play. Like you scan a QR code and you download an app and it works.
Hey guys, I'm transitioning out of the car, so if I can, I'll catch up with you guys in a few minutes on the phone app, and we'll go from there. So this is KARUH. If I don't catch up with you, have a great day, and we'll maybe talk this afternoon. Talk to you guys later.
Copy that, Anthony. Have a good day, and if we don't catch you, we'll catch up with you later. Have a great day. Yeah, Dakota, it just boggles my mind because you've seen the old Rocky movies, the originals where Rocky's working at a meat plant. Those days are gone. And, I mean, even Eastern Market downtown, there's a few lamb and veal processing plants. But the art of what I used to do, I mean, really, how many young guys under the age of maybe 40, 35, really know how to process a deer properly and get the maximum results out of it, you know, because I've dealt with deers that have been, you know, struck by cars and they bring them in. Well, get what you can out of it. Or back in the tuberculosis issues they had, I think in the late 80s or early 90s, right around the time of my divorce, there was that issue and a lot of other things. And it's like, you know, if you don't know what you're doing, you know, it's just a waste of time. And even when I retired, I was going to work for a company. I'm going to try to make my best to make a long story short here. I was turned down by a company because they, you know, and it wasn't anything to do with money, but, you know, they just wanted these younger generation people in there. And then they realized about a year and a half after I retired completely, not going back to do anything because of my physical disabilities, they tried to get me to come back. And I said, don't waste my time. You didn't want to listen to me the first time when I told you, you guys, you're going to need to hire people with experience, not you. Sometimes it's better. And they wised up, and I said, oh, so you learned your lesson, eh? And I was very rude and short about it, but I didn't care.
At ADDF. Yeah, I've heard stories like that quite a bit where companies just want the cheapest, easiest route, and then it usually backfires because you get what you pay for.
What am I paying for?
I think you're paying for your coffee. Good morning. Welcome.
Good morning. Well, not yet, but I will be. Anywho, punch me in. I have no idea what the topic is. I just heard you get what you pay for right when the radio started blurting out audidio. Oh, man. So, looks like we're going to have a scorcher today. It's going to be 38. Yes, Dakota?
You make sure you keep your top on, Sean. I know it's going to be a hot one. I think it's supposed to be in the 40s later this week, isn't it? That's rumor. I don't know if it's any truth or not, but I'm not looking forward to that mess. We're just babbling about how good help is hard to find and, you know, typical old man conversations.
Yeah, it started with me and Anthony. I was trying to get him a traffic report in an area close to me here at the freeway where he gets off because there's an accident near DeQuinder. But that's how it all started, and Anthony's in the office. I don't know if he's able to rejoin us or not yet on his desk phone thing, what do they call it, VoIP or something. And, but yeah, that's about it here. And like I said, Dakota and I are just babbling about quality of help, and, you know, you get what you pay for, youth over experience type of a scenario. Sean, go ahead.
Oh, well, don't get me going on finding good help. But, you know, you got to pay in this day and age. You got to pay to play. That's the biggest problem I face. I was doing some recruiting last night, and unfortunately, the Dallas don't recruit. recruit all that well. I'd like another guy, but I tell you what. Anyhow, enough on all that. And health-wise, I went to the doctor the other day. A1C is up a little bit, but other than that, other than being fat and lazy, and because of that, my sugar being up, I'm pretty good shape. I just got to get on the fat. How do I do that, Dakota?
Yeah, I hate to say it. I'm one of those employees that I go to the highest bidder, and I'm going to get what I want or I'm not coming. And I'm getting unfat. I don't know how. I just kind of stopped eating garbage as much. I really didn't change much. I do factor. I think I'm going to take a break from that, though. I'm on week 6, and I'm kind of getting burned out. They just keep every freaking meal is chicken and green beans, Phil. It's super good, but, like, you just get tired of eating chicken breast. I'm not a bodybuilder. I never will be. But that time of my life is long gone of, like, giving a crap about how athletic I am. I've hit the point of old man strength, and that's all I want, and dad strength. So I just stopped eating garbage, and my pants have literally been falling off me the last, like, 2 weeks. I still got about 40 pounds to go, but very, very small life changes, and, I mean, I was just super overweight, but it's working. I mean, I'm slightly more active. I've been out in the field a lot more and doing stuff, but still, just cutting calorie intake. That was really it.
I am still considering form factor as well. Reveals, but my schedule this month will not allow it. I won't be home much. I have some traveling to do. But, I've literally lost at least 8 inches in my gut overall, pant sizes and things like that, since the start of January 2024 is pretty much when I started. As far as exercise, I'm seeing a lot of pop-up ads, and I've talked to a couple of medical people, not so much Tai Chi, but Tai Chi walking. My campus is about a quarter mile around, and around the campus, and a lot of people walk the perimeter of the campus, and we used to have a walking club here, but the person that ran it, service coordinator, they left, so it kind of died off, but we do have physical fitness equipment. We've got 4 treadmills. That's the goal for this year, is just get my mobility better and myself healthier.
Well, you know, anything to keep moving, that's my problem. And Dakota, it sounds like, you know, you're doing a lot, really. I heard you said you're eating factors, which are chicken breast and green beans. Okay, so that's a real high-protein, low-fat, low-carb food. And, you know, then you said you calorie intake, then you said you've been more active. So, yeah, I see why it's working for you. That's all it takes. If I got a little bit more active and watched a little bit more about how much and what I was eating, I'm sure I'd start peeling it off too. But it's hard. Donald, it don't take much. You know, you don't got to run a marathon, or you don't got to, pump iron. You know, at the free weights, you just gotta regularly get moving. I know this, and yet here I am. I'm not in either one of your shoes right now. I gotta pick one of those things and start. You know, and I've been trying to do the what I eat. I mean, I haven't been working so much on quantity, although Ozempic's working on that for me a little bit. But the what I eat, I think I've been working on. But I think I'm going to switch it up. I'm going to start working on getting some exercise in, some real, you know, quality burn time, see if that can trigger something. I know once I hit that avalanche point, I go from, you know, barely being able to talk myself into a walk into the back of the yard to I can't wait to get in the gym for, you know, a good half-hour workout. You know, but I got to trip that, whatever that tripping point is to get there. I don't know what it is. It's metabolism change or something like that. Anyhow, I don't know if you know what I mean, Dakota. NADBF. Starting is the hardest part. No, I know what you mean. Once you start feeling better, it's easy. It's just getting out of the funk of eating garbage and doing nothing, which I was in for probably a year. I don't know why. I really don't know why. Probably just the routine of life, honestly. Didn't do much, but now it's like I hit a point of like, okay, I need to stay doing things and being active because I sit for a living. So this past weekend, we put in backsplash and under and over cabinet lighting. My buddy came over, my electrician. We went and flew drones and stuff. So like just doing things other than sitting. And yeah, the big thing is just not eating. I'm at a, what's that hot dog eating contest called in New York? Joey Chestnut. Yeah, I just eat way less. Not even necessarily what I eat, just way less. Like last night, my wife made pasta. I had one bowl, which is like a third of what I usually eat. And then I got Taco Bell for lunch yesterday because I was on the road and I didn't have a microwave for my tractor. So instead of getting $25 worth of Taco Bell, I got 10. I got a burrito and a cheesy gordita. And like, I was completely content.
Well, as you guys know, I DoorDash a lot, but I've cut my DoorDash not so much down, but what I order. When I first started with DoorDash, I had maybe 6 restaurants, and now I'm down to 3 plus Starbucks. And I get, you know, chicken and stuff, Chinese, things like that. So I don't do chicken and green beans just yet, but I do my fair share of chicken. And what was the other thing I was going to say? I lost my train of thought here. Just like you say, though, I got to get more active than what I am. And we do have the gym with the treadmills. And the treadmills, all you're doing is looking at yourself in a mirror. Once the weather gets nice, we have a woman here. For something she did. She doesn't know it, but I know it. Anyway, she walks every day as long as the roadways and pathways are safe. She'll be out there in the dead of winter, snow coming down. She's bundled up like a snow bunny. And she's pretty close to my age, but you wouldn't know it, the shape she's in. And everybody in the camp is just, you know, there goes Karen. And it's like, oh, yeah, she's a machine. But if you watch what she does almost every day, regardless of the conditions, as long as it's safe, she's out there. And it's like, I just got to get out there and do what she does. I can't even keep pace with her right now. Before COVID, I could probably keep pace with her. But COVID really took a toll on me with my heart and my lungs because that's what was compromised. And then when you have the disability with mobility in my back and hips, that didn't help. So COVID's been over with, 2-3 years now? I just need to get back on the bandwagon. I've lost weight naturally, and I just now got to put the total package together. Sean, go ahead.
Yepers. Well, that's the problem, the metabolism, man. It's metabolism. It gets slows down or whatever it is, but gotta keep on top. But that's my biggest thing. Start moving. I used to, I would change into my workout gear at work, you know, right at quitting time, jump into my car, my workout gear, and then three Planet Fitness on my path home, and I had a Black Card membership there, and I would make sure I went into either the one right by work or the one halfway home or the one right by home, and I would go into one of those, and I would just knock out, you know, half an hour. You know, if nothing else, just half an hour on the treadmill. And, you know, and it didn't even affect my day because, you know, I get out of work at 3:30. So if I go to the one right by work, I was literally walking in the door by 3:35. And, you know, and so I'm on the road for home at, you know, 4:05, you know, with a workout in. You know, hell, it hasn't even really affected my day. And, you know, it got addictive. And, you know, so, you know, now I'm to the point where it's like, I don't want to do that, you know, but I got to get there. But, you know, enough on that. We all know, we all have the same, you know, crap we're facing. Get sedentary, start not paying attention to what you're eating or eat too much. I do all of those things, so. What are you going to do? Other than that, what else is new and exciting? Did a little HF the other night. Don and I were out on 3699. The conditions were fantastic. Real short. You know, so all the close in guys were booming. I've had it dialed up down there, listening around. I checked my antenna. I can get up to about 38, and without, you know, too much trouble. I could probably sneak it up to about 39 with a tuner. So I can get up, you know, I can get up a ways, but my wire is cut for low in the band, so I can, you know, 37 is really, really nice place for me. But I can get up there a little bit higher. Dakota?
I was just about to switch it up and start talking radio. My last comment on the food and diet thing. Next time you guys go to the doctor, because you are quite a bit older than me, ask about a testosterone test. Maybe get on a test supplement. That'll make a huge difference for you as well. Yeah, I've not done any HF. My wire survived the winter storm and ice storm crap. My antenna, thankfully, I don't know how those things are made, but it was whipping around like crazy, totally unfazed, in great shape. Still has that weird cant to it I got to fix, but I think when the weather breaks, I'm going to just lower it a tiny, tiny bit to just knock that out because it drives me nuts. I can see it from dry road when I'm pulling up to the house. So it's just kind of an aesthetic thing that bugs me. But I've not done any HF. I haven't even turned on my 705 that's on my desk. This has been the extent of my radio. And I was just thinking I gotta start playing some more. It's got a lot of equipment sitting around, and it's a lot of fun when you actually take the time to do it. And I charged that radio last night, Sean, that 7-amp Dakota Lithium. I don't know. It's fully charged, so next time I bring it, I'll try to remember to bring my meter and just see what we're working with. And I think, like I said, as long as it's plugged into the battery, I want to say it'll continue to read so that I'll have an idea of how much it consumes. But other than that, yeah, not much radio. Been thinking about trying to jump on the net again here soon, too. I know Anthony's got that 706, and I got to try simplexing. And next time you're on 80, let me know. I've got an NFET half wave out there that'll do 80. I just don't know if it'll do it on 10 watts. Donald?
Okay, my final comment on the food thing is, first of all, fasting. I'm finding that my need for food has cut back drastically in the last couple of years, and even during the, I put a few pounds on during the holiday because you just eat stupid. And so fasting, I'm on a fast right now for 3 days, but that's the one thing I've added, and I know Sean mentioned it to me when I first met him. He was talking about doing some fasting, so I'm doing that. And then HF, what's that? I'm just stuck in my UHF world, but I have the goal this coming spring, as Sean knows, Dakota. I'm working on getting an outside antenna. I've got some pieces listed in eBay of putting the puzzle pieces together of what I'm going to do, how I'm going to set it up, because I am in an HOA. I'm high up on the balcony. What kind of antenna? Probably looking at a beam and pointing it right down Detroit's throat because there's a lot of repeaters that way, and going from there. And locally, I can hit three of the four repeaters in my area are about 12 and a half to 13 miles away. I can hit them on HTs, so, and with the Troy GMRS repeater being less than 6 miles away, I can hit that on 1 watt. So I have the coverage and the height. That's it for me. I got to get my day started because I got some maintenance people coming in today doing some small repair work from another apartment that is affecting mine. So I'm going to check on out. You gentlemen have a great day. We'll catch up with you later. That's it for now, I think. W8RC, bye.
All right, Donald. Well, a final comment on that. Well, one, the fasting. Yeah, I did some intermittent fasting, but I should probably just do a cleanse one, you know, a couple of days or like you're doing. That always seems to kick things off pretty well. I don't know. We'll give that some thought. Get anything outside, anything at all, even just a modest vertical, you know, like we talked about in a flower pot, and put a flag on it. Just say it's a little flagpole. And you'd be amazed at what a difference that'll make. All right, we'll catch you later. And Dakota, yeah, I really suspected it was low T. So I had my doctor run the test, and sure enough, it was dreadfully low. And I thought, sure, he'd do something about it. But he said, no, he wasn't gonna do anything about it. But I'm going to have to probably hit him up again and say, can you check that again? And if it's as low as it was last time, I really could do something about it, because I think that would really help with the, you know, at least with the energy and the, you know, the workout and stuff like that.
All right, Donald, take it easy. Have a good day. Maybe I'll catch you in the morning. And, yeah, Sean, you can get it over the counter. You can just go, God, you can go to GNC and buy test something. Just start with a little, see how you feel, and you can always increase it from there. I used to take it. I took it very briefly when I was in college lifting a lot, but I was already so high test that I didn't want to become dependent and then my body stopped creating its own naturally, so I stopped altogether. I had a couple buddies that stayed on it, and I swear it changed them, so I'm glad I didn't do it. But at the point where you're low test naturally, yeah, there's nothing wrong with taking a little bit to just give you that bump. It'll help reset a ton with metabolism and just energy and libido and that whole shebang. Fortunately, I'm not there yet. I don't need it yet. But if you're low test, that crushes you. I mean, that's why you're tired and don't want to go do anything physical. So it'll be a nice little kickstart.
One quick last addendum. Yeah, I forgot to mention the testosterone thing. Being retired for 13 years now, it's part of my yearly physical, so I'm aware of it, but I'm not dangerously low or low. I didn't know there were supplements over the counter. I mean, I've heard of things like Nugenix and stuff, but you're so tired of hearing those commercials, you know, you think they're pushing more the product than the results. And that's my 2 cents on that. All right, I'm out of here. Dakota, have a great day as well. We'll be on the radio throughout the day, listening, monitoring, lurking. W8RC1.
All right, catch you later, Donald. And I suspected that as well. Because when I do work out, I work out quite a bit. I found that I wasn't gaining any muscle mass, and I was doing it right. You know, I was, you know, loading up on proteins and I was doing some whey powder and stuff and some protein powders and a shake and I still wasn't really getting the results I wanted. I mean, I was losing weight and I was feeling really good, but I wasn't getting any mass back at all. And so I suspected there was something going on there, and then I had tested and yeah, it's extremely low. And I got all the, you know, I got all the red flag warnings of it and all that stuff. I was really shocked that the doctor didn't agree to, you know, at least do something about it. But I'll have to look into that. I'm a little afraid of it. Anything you do yourself, like, you know, through GNC or something like that, I'm just naturally suspect.
And that's just me. You know, it's like, it's not, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with it. I just, I need to know more about it. I feel woefully ignorant. And, you know, so it's hard for me to go in there and, you know, just so many things in there they want to sell you, you know, and, you know, oh, you know, you got to have this for, you know, for this reason or for that reason. And I'm like, you know, geez, oh, Pete, you go in there and say I got low energy, they'd probably send you out there with a laundry list of things, you know, supplements. And how am I to know if these are right? I got to research every one of them.
Yeah, that's a big part of it, too. I just threw GNC out there because I was off the top of my head. I know they sell brick and mortar. I stopped going there a long time ago, even when I was an athlete, because every time I went in there, it was some jacked dude that most likely lived in a 400-square-foot apartment or his mom's basement and took 30 supplements a day and told other people what to take. And I was like, you know what? I don't want to be anything like you. So do your own research. I'm pretty sure you can order this stuff on Amazon even. It's like, it's, I don't know if it's actual testosterone, but it's T-Boost, which is supposed to help increase testosterone. So do some research on it. I know it's out there. It's not that big of a deal. It's not like you're shooting up, right? It's not insulin or anything like that where, you know, you're putting something in your body. It's just like, it's a tablet. Take it and get on with it. But, yeah, I'm surprised he didn't do anything, too. I'd maybe get a second opinion or be like, listen, dude, come on. I'm still an active guy. I want more energy. Like, give me a little bump here.
Well, I'm gonna research it more for sure. I got to see him again in 3 months. Maybe I'll do something over the counter just to give it a whirl. I don't know. I'm going to do something. But, yeah. Now, one thing I know is I wanted to move to free weights. I was doing the Planet Fatness thing, which was mostly, it was, you know, I would do 90% cardio there. They do have the Smith machines and other various stuff. They do have dumbbells, right? So, you know, they do, in that regard, they have free weights. They don't really have free weights. And the one, I know the one they say that could really, really produce T in a man is squats. So free weight squats. So I would try to get squats in on all my upper body workout days.
Squats are the core of your workout. They work pretty much everything except for your, obviously, upper body, but it's core, back, all your legs. If you do squats once or twice a week, some sort of lower body, some actual weight workout, I think that'll help you a ton. That was my biggest problem when I was lifting a lot and playing lacrosse and all that, was I only wanted to focus on upper body, but you have to have a lower body to build an upper body.
Yeah, I should have probably more correctly said. So I, you know, when I was doing the gym thing regularly, religiously, I was doing cardio like every time, like every day. I'd go in and do cardio anywhere from a half hour to an hour. And, you know, sometimes even, you know, well, I mean, I had certain, like, you know, always run 5K on the treadmill, no less. So, half hour minimum. And then I started realizing this ain't helped me none, and I'm particularly not happy with my upper body. So I said, okay, let's do this. Let's mix it up. And every other day, you know, I'll do cardio, and then I'll do upper body. Hold on one second. I got to pay for my coffee. All righty. I got a cold brew this morning. Felt like a cold brew. So anyhow, I was doing all this cardio, plus when I wasn't going to the gym, I was, you know, biking and sometimes, you know, running outside. You know, it was all cardio. And I said, I got to get some upper body in there because I'm really not happy with, you know, the strength I've lost in my upper body, you know, as an old fart. So I would go in and I would do, on the off days, I would do the non-cardio days, I would do this upper body thing. But I would get squats in. I didn't have it divided up like, you know, you were sound like you were pumping iron. I wasn't like that. I didn't have like a upper day and a lower day and anything like that. So I would go in, I'd have this routine of upper body routines, but I'd always make sure I got squats in.
or leg presses or something like that on the non-cardio day. Let's just call it that. I didn't have it divided up any more than that. There was cardio days, there was non-cardio days.
If you're not trying to, you know, get big or get stupid strong, yeah, there's nothing wrong with that. I will say programs produce better results, so keep that in mind if you ever start lifting again. If you follow a program, you'll see dramatic increases in strength in a short period of time versus just kind of going in and doing the similar routines over and over. Working different muscle groups in different ways actually helps a ton. I fought my buddy on that all through college, and I finally started doing it, and I'm like, dude, yeah, you're not kidding. Like, it was substantial increases in gains versus plateauing, basically, and just being able to do the same weight over and over. But, yeah, we were, like, meat stick lifting, you know, as big and bad as we could have been because we were young, dumb idiots, and now everything hurts because of it.
Yeah, I don't want to, you know, get big or anything like that, obviously. I notice that my upper body is woefully, you know, weak right now compared to the past. And I'd like to get on that. I think it's a combination of the lower key and the fact that I'm not working out or doing anything. You know, I've been sitting at a desk for, you know, all these years. So, yep, got to do that. I was going to talk to you about programs because I just did a bunch of upper body things plus my squats, but I did a bunch of upper body things that, you know, I would just do, 10 reps, three times, you know, 10 reps, a rest, 10 reps, a rest, and then I did, the amount of weight was the failure, in the third set. I'd have to be doing enough weight so that in the third set I could barely get to the 10th. And, and then when I could get to the 10th, at the weight I was at, I would up the weight. And then three sets of 10 to failure, at the new weight. And I have no idea if that's good, bad. There's something more I should do, but mostly it was, curls, lat pull-downs, I'd have to look at my, I got it on my phone, what I would do. It was all focused mostly on upper body, except the squats and the leg presses and stuff. But I'll have to talk to you about what a good program might look like at some point.
Yeah, I could give you a breakdown of what I used to do. I mean, like I said, a lot of it was focused on upper body, which sounds like what you're going after. I did legs once a week, once every other week, but I played hockey my whole life and played lacrosse, so I've always, and I'm short. I got a 27-inch, 28-inch inseam, so I've never had an issue with leg strength. It's just I've always wanted to build bigger and stronger upper body. So, yeah, one day I can send you that or can put something together that'll probably help you quite a bit. I will say Planet Fitness is not going to have some of the things. I don't like Smith machines for bench. They jack up your form, hurt your shoulders and elbows. So keep that in mind. Should be okay for squat. And, I mean, a lot of the stuff I did, honestly, was dumbbells and cables. So it sounds like you'll be able to handle that.
Oh, yeah. No. Who's this jack wagon parking in our spots? God darn it. Anyhow, all right, well, I've arrived here, and, yeah, that's the problem with fatness. I mean, they're great to get started, but once you get moving, I was thinking about moving to L.A., L.A. Fitness. Is that it? Yeah. They don't have as many locations, and they're more expensive, but in addition to all the stuff that Planet Fitness has, they have free weights, which is huge, and then they have classes. You know, you can do, like, spin classes, you can do yoga and stuff like that. It's all free. You know, it's all included in the membership, you know, not even including the fact that they got a pool and sauna and all that stuff. So it might be worth it to go there, just if nothing else for the classes and the free weights. All right, I'll let you finish it out, and then I got to get inside. W8FU after yours.
That's exactly what I was going to say. If you can make use of the membership and justify the cost and actually partake in the things that the membership includes, it's worth it. If not, there's cheaper options out there. God, even at any time, well, any time's not cheap anymore. I remember when I was there in high school, it was like $20 a month. There was $100 for the whole summer, I think. And now it's like $75 a month or something ridiculous for a step above Planet Fitness. But all right, I'm getting on 75 here, so I'll be rolling. I'll catch you later. N8DBF.
Later, drive safe. W8FU.
KCAK jail. Good morning. KCAKGO. You on your way in or almost there? Try another tower. You're really bad. That sounds a little better.
Yeah, I got to the top of the hill. In the 93 to 91 range.
Ah, the hole.
Yep. The rain probably isn't helping either.
The rain hasn't started here yet. Why, are you getting dumped on already?
Yeah, it's a decent light rain. You got the wipers on. Not pouring.
Oh, so it's going to be a fun day. I spoke too soon. Now I've got sprinkles. Yeah, now I got, it's not, well, I don't know, it's sprinkles. You know, it's not a mist, not a rain, not spitting, so. I'm going to take it as sprinkles.
It seems like it kind of goes through little pockets. Starting to lighten up now. But it's a lot of wipers. A lot of sifting wipers are for.
Hey, how do I sound to you? I upgraded. DR ASP. I don't know what the difference is between that and the 310B. You know, I know it's got GPS on it and, of course, System Fusion.
Yeah, I'm not terribly familiar with the ASUS. They've got a whole slew of mobiles. But yeah, that's not too bad. Not as tinny.
Well, I still have my Elenco. I'm just putting that upstairs. I just got my cable in. I've got to figure out how to mount the antenna in the attic. You know, because I can't do a full vertical or a full horizontal. I don't have the trusses that go across. So, I'll probably just put it at an angle, but as long as I hit Mount Clemens, I'm a happy camper.
Yeah, I had my my trim for Tunisia in the attic in my old house. Had enough room. The attic was pretty tall, so I had enough room to fit that thing in there. And I'd be able to turn around and find something that will fit. X30 or something, a little bit shorter antenna. That might fit in there, something like that. I had the brackets for like mounting an antenna on the side of the house, and I just put those on a rafter. I ran a 2x4 down just so I could put the second bracket a little lower, but you don't have to worry about much wind load in the attic.
Well, I got a 10-12 peak. I got an old farmhouse, so, I mean, I could stand up in it. But, I was thinking of just mounting it, on the side of the truss there at an angle. I mean, I think a 45 would be fine. Or at least, a 50-degree angle. That way I get partial horizontal and partial vertical.
Well, unless you're planning on doing sideband, I think you'd probably better getting that as vertical as you can. All the repeaters are going to be vertically polarized, so the closer vertical you can, the better. If you can fit it vertical, I would put it vertical.
Yeah, it's a UHF, VHF, and it's not super small. It's not small. It's about the size of a small television antenna, I guess you can say. So I'll try to get it as vertical as I can.
The only time you're doing horizontal is if you're doing sideband. There's some guys that are 2 meter sideband, but you don't even have the radio for that. It wouldn't be worth doing. That's exactly what I did. Is just screwed it right onto the truss. I had the brackets I had used to mount on the side of the old house, and just had no mast on it, just right to be as high as I can in the attic, and screw it right to the rafter. It was good to go. And I had the HOA, I had the HF antenna, I had a long wire, just put the transformer on one end and stretch the wire across the house.
I'll figure out something. I'm the only one that goes in the attic, so I'm not too pressured. If I put it up, right in the middle of the house, right in the middle of the attic, and pointing it towards the back of the house, I think I'll do just.
Yeah, our attic was one of the only go into if you have to. It's all the blown in insulation and everything. It was not fun work navigating around there, but only had to go in there a few times. Put the full mechanic suit on and gloves and respirator. It's not 9 degrees out that day.
KJL. Well, one side of the attic is storage, the other side of the attic is open, and with, you see the insulation and stuff. So, and then there's a vertical truss right there, so if I mount it there, I shouldn't have a problem. And the only person that goes up in the attic is myself.
Are you restricted on putting it outside, or local rules or something like that, or you just want it in the attic?
Oh, absolutely no restrictions. Just that putting it outside, then I don't want to get on the peak of the roof to put it up there, kind of thing. So, not only that, then I'd have to run a ground strap from it down to the ground rod that's on the side of the house. You know, so that's a lot of work, asking a bunch of people to help out. Drilling a hole in the side of my house, where just having it in the attic should do just fine. That's why I said if I mounted, you know, like on a 45-degree angle, I said as long as I can hit 147.2 from there, shouldn't have too much of an issue.
I've got mine on the fascia board that seems strong enough. It survived the wind via a couple of the last week, so it was, that's all I've been mounting mine, just around the fascia boards. So, not the strongest wood, but it works. Run a copper wire down to the ground. I just put my own ground rod in for the antenna. But wasn't too bad. Just if you could go drilling holes, make sure you're going to the right spot. And fortunately, had to happen a couple times where I was in the wrong spot. But anyway, I'm about to go in the underground here, so I will stay set with you.
Sounds good. I'll talk to you in the afternoon when we're all traveling. 73 Pinnell, KJL. WD8KLL.
Good morning, Jack.
Well, good morning, Greg. Is it raining by you yet?
Yeah, it is. Yep, it's raining here.
I haven't started it here, so it might start soon. But it's so dark out here. I don't know why. It's after 8 o'clock. It shouldn't be dark at all.
Yeah, I just woke up and got my cup of coffee. I was just getting ready to jump on 10 and see what's going on and start the day out. What do you got going on?
Not much today. I was busy yesterday with my cousins. I got up in the morning. I had to go there and ate with them. Ate a good old sandwich, corned beef, at the restaurant right there on 15 and... 15 and Commerce Road.
Yeah, it sounds good. We got a place here in Grand Blanc called Omega's Coney. Oh, Omega's Diner, I think it is. And they make a fantastic corned beef sandwich. I get one called Detroit Shock. And it's got a corned beef and pastrami and coleslaw, then you hit it with some of that hot mustard, and man, is that good.
Yeah, that sounds delicious. For this early morning, it is. And I like that hot mustard. The hot mustard is delicious, too. I like that.
Yeah, it's good stuff for sure. All right, Jack, well, I'm just getting warmed up here. I'm getting ready to fire up the HF rig and start hunting.
Did you ever hear that one? When you're hot, you're hot. When you're not, you're not.
Yeah, I've heard that one, Jack. I don't know if I'm hot or not.
Hey, Greg, good talking to you. I'll be on the HF. I'm going to turn this one off, the 9600, and turn my radio on. Talk to you later. KFA-DRC.
Okay. Okay, Jack. Yeah, it looks pretty bleak right now. I'm looking at the signals, but we'll see what we got going on. We'll let you know. KF8DRC, WD8KLO, we'll be clear.
KF8KJL.
Morning, Tom. W8RCY. Are you still driving around in the parking lot in the city of Warren trying to find this library thing? Or did you survive that and you're on the road?
Oh, I survived that. I'm on the loose. I found it straight behind the skating rink. So I just came off a little bit too far to the north. No big deal. I got there on time. For the minute, it's fair.
Well, I'm originally from St. Clair Shores, but, you know, in Macomb County, and of course Macomb County is on the other side of DeQuinder here, so I'm familiar with the city of Warren, and I'm not 100% well-navigated in that parking area for the Civic Center there for the city of Warren, but, yeah, that was kind of interesting to listen to everybody trying to find, you know, where this place is at, and you know, Mike's red truck, so on and so forth. So I got some entertainment out of that, which I needed.
Yeah, that was kind of funny. I'm like, okay, where am I at? All right, here. He said, you can park in a parking garage. I'm like, I'm too big to fit in a parking garage.
I was having a moment there because the radio is sitting on my coffee table, and I'm like yelling at the radio without pushing the button, you know, like saying, no, he told you to turn left. No, I know where you're at. You got to turn right. And I'm screaming at the radio at you guys, laughing my butt off. Not keying up, of course, but it was just, like I said, it was great entertainment, and entertainment I needed at the moment.
I try to make everything comical.
Yeah, but you guys who came in from what I would like to consider calling the Great White North, because once you get north of 26 Mile, for me that's kind of like the Great White North. Of course, they say it's what, Flint or something like that. Or once you cross 69, you get into the northern part of Michigan. But I just thought I'd, you know, share that with you and say good morning, and hopefully you're okay on the roads this morning. It's slick here in my neighborhood, but nothing serious with the way of rain, just the misting rain. And we have fog, actually. I looked out the window a minute ago. I opened up my blinds, and my skyline looks towards Detroit. Forget it. Can't even see that. Got the hospital 700, 800 feet away. That's a little bit under fog. Other than that, though, it's not too bad.
Oh, it's rainy, it's foggy, it's wet, you know, all of the above. Then, of course, you got all the spray from all the semis blasting up on my windshield.
I know Dakota was mentioning this morning during our little coffee, our on-drive morning coffee chat. He was heading downriver today and do some install work. And the road conditions were damp, no rain at that point in time, and I have not heard back from them as to how the road conditions are now. But what area of the area are you in now? Is it the northwest, south? Can't say east, because if you go too far east, you'll be in one of the lakes.
I had to go to Romulus, take care of something there, and now I'm heading back up to my office in Auburn Hills. And then after Auburn Hills, then we got to jump over to Port Huron and take care of some cameras at a hospital. And then figure out the day from there.
You should have coordinated better. I think when talking to Dakota, he said he had to go out towards Romulus this morning. You guys could have carpooled.
Yeah. Yeah, my coworker and I will do that. I mean, he carpooled with me yesterday until we got his service truck back, which he's two vehicles ahead of me. And, yeah, but if we know what the job that we got to do somewhere, we don't need a lot of, you know, tall ladders or anything like that. You know, we'll carpool up to Petoskey and up in the northern part of the Mitten. You know, that way it's just less fuel used.
Well, that was the kind of theory about less fuel being used if you and Dakota were able to carpool with this morning. That would have been cool. I can imagine what that conversation would have been like. It would have been like there had been a bug on the inside of the windshield instead of the outside of the windshield to hear that. Anyway, I just thought I heard you out there, and I just thought I'd say good morning, and it's a new year, new attitude, new demeanor, even like a personal matter with a friend of mine. Can't discuss it on the air, but other than that, though, yeah, like I said, I just thought I'd give you a shout-out and say good morning, and you know, just be safe out there, and we'll catch up with you later after my final. W-A-R-C-Y, have a great day.
Sounds good, Don. I'll be out and about today. 73 for now, KGO.
T-E-R-U-H, W-N-F-T.
How's it going, Rick? KCKGL.
Hey, pretty good, Tom. How are you doing? What part of the state are you in now?
Sitting outside my office in Auburn Hills.
Oh, good. Fairly close to my neighborhood. Well, hopefully you don't go too far. It's, as you're probably well aware, the raining like crazy and on the edge of freezing here.
At least it's not snow.
Yeah, that's true. You don't have to worry about shoveling it or plowing it kind of thing. You just got to worry about staying on the road. Or not getting hit by the others on the road.
Yeah, it's just a local day today. At the office picking up parts for tomorrow for, where are we going? Belleville. Going to Belleville tomorrow. But we got to go to Port Huron and go figure out a camera system. And then figure out the day from there, I guess.
Oh, you're going to Port Huron this afternoon or tomorrow there? It'd be nice if you could just get done with that and go home, eh?
Yeah, co-worker, we got to take a look, find an interior door for his son's house. So, since I got the full-size van, we're going to go take a look at it after Port Huron. Go pick it up.
Well, excellent. You are one busy fella. I was watching some videos yesterday of some ice storms there recently. These folks were parked on a hill, a paved, you know, it was a paved road in the city. And they were on a hill, and there was about six or eight parked vehicles with nobody in them. That the road just got icy enough, the people took off. And they were doing the crash dummy stuff going down the road. It was hilarious. Well, it was hilarious if it wasn't one of your cars.
Okay, he's out in his truck now, so I gotta jump, see where we're going first. He's sending me a map. So we're gonna go to Adair, and then we gotta go to Port Huron. And then we'll go from there. I'll catch you in a bit, Rick. 73 to you, KCXKGO.
Okay, Tom, always good to talk to you. You take care and be careful out there. CEHWJ.
any VDZ mobile monitoring.
KJO.
AE8WOJ. How you doing, Tom?
Had to drop off a door at a buddy's son's house that we picked up in a dare.
Cool, are you on your way home? You still got more runs.
Oh no, I got still gotta go to Port Huron. We just stopped off at his son's house to drop off this bedroom door that he picked up at the salvage yard and ate lunch, and now we're on our way to Port Huron, get that done, and go from there.
Yeah, I don't mean to be nosy, but I know you're all over the place, always curious. Where the heck is the sleep is he at now? I was just out here on the porch having my little cigar and checking out the specs on your new radio.
Ain't nothing wrong with a little cigar, a little whiskey while talking on the radio.
Sorry, that GPS-T seems to block every now and then. This radio is kind of small, and apparently I get two T's at the same time every once in a while. You have the 310DR ASP, right?
Yeah, the 310DRASP.
Yeah, I thought I heard you say that the other day. So, yeah, I was just looking it up to see if you mentioned that thing had run as a Warriors X node or not. I remember you did mention it in mine, too. I found out afterwards in other places. And apparently, I think I might have misled you the other day. I told you you had to get a Warriors X ID. I didn't really complete the thought here. If you're going to run it as a node, you got to have a Warriors X ID. You don't need it to just fool around with the C4FM and Warriors X.
No, Warriors X is, you know, sometime in the future maybe. No, I'm running it just as my mobile and System Fusion. I was already on Fusion earlier today, chit-chatting away with somebody. But, I mean, I got my All-Star node at the house. And then I just got my 50-foot, what is it, LNR 400. So that just came in. But the cheaper version, it's like 40 bucks for 50 feet. So, and I got my duplex Yagi sitting upstairs in the upstairs room that I'm going to be sitting in. So I got to get that in the attic and get that somehow mounted. I thought I had a rafter across the top that I could mount it as a vertical, but I don't. So just trying to figure out if I'm going to do a vertical horizontal at a 45 degree angle and if it would work or not.
Well, I would have never thought of that 45. See, that's a little bit of both vertical and horizontal. Yeah, that's the KMR 400. That's what I went with also.
Yeah, that's what it is, KMR 400. Yeah, that came in the mail yesterday.
Yeah, that's the cheaper Chinese copy of LMR 400. Almost the same specs, but not quite. But the cost, it's still worth it to me.
Yeah, it's just to do the trick to get down to the Richmond receive site for 147.2. You know, and I already got a mobile base unit, so got the power supply, got the mobile, got the antenna, now I got the cable. Now all I got to do is get the time.
I was just going to say that. Now you just got to come up with time to put it all together. Well, I'm sure you'll get at it sooner or later. You've got a lot of irons and players.
Yeah, I'll see how this weekend goes. It's just a matter of getting up there and getting upstairs and putting it up there. Try to figure out how I'm going to mount it, because nobody else goes upstairs in the attic but me, so.
Yeah, I'm sure there's multiple ways to accomplish it. I'm sure you'll come up with a good. So is your shack or your radio room on the top floor, so it's just right above the attic?
No, I'm going to mount, my son has an Audacity built in the corner of his old room, so I already cleaned off my daughter's stuff off of there, and there's an outlet right there, so all I got to do is plug in the power supply and then, you know, run the cable up along the wall and then up into the ceiling, poke a hole in the ceiling and stick it up there, use the paddle bit, get up through the drywall, and then I can get some fire caulk to seal the hole if I don't get any cold breezes down there.
Yeah, that's why I didn't put mine in the attic here. It's two stories and then the basement. It's three stories, actually. The only thing I could think of was, you know, try to drill through the top and bottom plates of all those walls going down there. And I just didn't see me doing that.
Oh, be right back. Got a phone call. KJO. Sorry, I'll explain it more when I call you back.
No problem, young man.
282.
KWOJ testing. KWOJ testing.
KWOJ. I read you loud and clear there, Ricky. How you doing today?
Oh, good, thanks. I was just playing around. Tom got a new radio, and I've got one that's similar to FTM 300DR, but I haven't used it in so long, I thought I'd fire it up and give it a go, and I didn't have this KCAVLTS repeater in there, so I just threw it in there and wanted to make sure it was working.
It's working just fine. You got full quieting going on with that thing. You sound fantastic.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate it. Where are you located, just out of curiosity?
I'm in Clinton Township, about 3 miles south of the Mount Clemens repeaters. We've spoken before. It's just been a while. Name's Cliff.
Oh, good, Cliff. How you doing? Are you behaving?
Okay, see, that's a loaded question, and I'm not sure exactly how to answer it, except to say probably not.
Well, that's good. Most people go, oh, yeah, I behave all the time, and then I tell them, well, stop it, because you'll get bored to death that way.
Absolutely. Life would be very boring and boring if we all behaved ourselves all the time.
Yes, sir, and then once you get old, you've got no choice. You have to behave. You can't misbehave even if you wanted to.
Oh, man, do I hear that. I know exactly how you feel on that one. Just a bit of rain coming through and stuff has gotten me all messed up. All my joints are yelling at me.
Clip, I know the feeling. Mind you, most of the time. it's sort of right, you know, the temperature's right on the edge of freezing, so I don't really have to go anywhere, so I'm not going to.
Yeah, I'm planning on that today either. I already did all the running around that I needed to do. I'm back home when it's nice and warm and dry, and that's where I intend to stay for the rest of the day.
Well, I'm right there with you. So, anything new and exciting in your life? Got any new equipment?
Well, right now, I'm in the middle of packing up a radio I bought to go back because the thing wouldn't power on when I got it. And after doing everything that they told me to do, it still won't behave, so I'm boxing it up to go back. And sometime tomorrow, Thursday, or Friday, I got another radio that's going to show up. That one is it's an Olenco DRMT500T or something like that. Previous model from the one that's come out there, but there are no places still have it, and I couldn't pass up the price on it. It was $380 shipped.
Oh, excellent. And I know what you mean. I've gotten three new radios this year, all any tones with DMR. The DMR bug bit me.
Oh, yeah, I understand that. Right now, the only digital radio I got is the Baofeng DM32UV, which is proving to be a surprisingly solid radio. But the one that I'm sending back, that's a Radiodity CD40D. That one was a DMR radio, and it just didn't boot up at all. And the one that's supposed to arrive, that link I told you about, is another DMR radio, so that I can at least have a DMR base unit at the house, you know?
Yes, sir, gotcha. I did the same thing. I bought about a year ago, last January, I think it was, I got an 878 UV2 Plus handheld, and fiddled with that. I pulled my hair out trying to figure out how to do a code plug for that. Anyway, I finally got it. Then I bought a 578 UV2 Plus mobile. And then a little bit after that, I got the DE-168, another handheld there. So I know what you mean. It's always fun to get new toys. That's why I fired this one, this old FTM-300 DR Yaesu up, because I haven't had it running in over a year.
Well, that Yaesu is definitely doing the job. You are clearly making the trip. I mean, Yaesu is no problem whatsoever. It's a nice piece of equipment.
Yeah, I wasn't real sure how I was going to get out there, and I had this channel set for a high, which is supposed to be, I think, 50 watts or something like that, but it's only putting out 33, so. But as long as I'm getting out and you can hear me, that's all that matters. It's got a 1 to 1.6 SWR, so I guess it ain't doing too bad.
Oh, that is definitely a nice match you got going on there. And as far as the output wattage, it doesn't surprise me that on UHF it's a little bit lower. I've seen that with a lot of radios. They'll tell you, yeah, it's 50 watts on VHF and 40 or 45 on UHF. And when you key it up, it's doing 30 to 35 in the UHF. That doesn't surprise me. You're still getting out. You're still loud and clear. And that's the important thing.
Yes, sir, and apparently I got 33 and a quarter watts going forward and 2 watts reflected, so I guess that's not a big deal. Earlier when I got a coax switch here, I got a three-position coax switch, and I thought this radio was on the top one, so I switched it over to that, started keying up, and I was getting a 9 SWR, and I went, whoa, wait a minute here, so I had to chase down the wires and find out which one it was on.
Been there before. That's why I started tagging my stuff when the system starts getting overcomplicated. That way I can just look where all the connections are. Okay, this one goes here, and that one goes there. And, oh, wait, what did I do with that?
Yep, I know what you mean. I figured with only three, I couldn't go wrong. But, you know, I thought I was wrong once, but I was incorrect.
I applaud your sense of humor, sir.
Yeah, it happens quite often. if we can't laugh at ourselves, then, oh, shame on us, you know. It makes for a pretty dreary life.
Yes, it does. I do tend to keep most of my humor to myself, though, especially on air here, because a lot of it is sarcastic, and some of it approaches cringeworthy.
Oh, smart fella. I remember back in high school, I was a walking encyclopedia of dirty jokes. It's like the only thing I could remember. It's like, you really couldn't tell them in very few places, the locker room, out on the football field or the baseball field kind of thing. But as I grew older, I got a little bit wiser. Well, maybe I just got a better filter.
KFAPPV. I don't know so much about it as being a better filter, because that used to be pretty much my only library of jokes. But as I've gotten older, I've developed a deep appreciation for good puns and bad jokes.
Yeah, well, you'd like Joe. He's living over there by you somewhere. ZYQ there, he's got all kinds of dad jokes there. And, yeah, I know what you mean. I like to get onto YouTube, too, and they got some shorts with a lot of jokes on there. That gets me chuckling most of the day.
Speaking of KE4ZYQ.
Hello, Joe. How you doing today?
Well, if I was any better, I couldn't stand myself. And speaking of dad jokes, I read somewhere recently the two ways you know you're getting old. One's you lose your memory, and I can't remember the other one. Over to you, Rick.
I knew that was coming. See what happens when you don't lock the doors.
Clearly, you don't let anybody use these radios.
Okay, for you, like, I bought a special radio that when your name is mentioned, and it'll go right to that frequency. I just turned it to this frequency minutes before you said that, Rick. That's incredible. talk about timing and fate. I don't know. What do you think?
Well, when Cliff mentioned dad jokes there, that was the first thing that popped into my head. And as far as filters go, I don't seem to have much of a one anymore, so whatever pops into my head ends up coming out of this big mouth.
Well, we're all old. Everybody will give us a pass for that sort of thing. They figure we've earned it.
I always thought that was a requirement when you get up in age, is you have to be kind of like old looking, sounding, acting, because you try to act young and people start pointing the finger and say, hey, you're not 20 or 30 anymore. What are you doing? Quit abusing the right to talk. But when I was married, some guy walked up to me when I was young and said, you got any bad pictures of your wife? And I said, what? No. He says, you want some?
Yeah, I forgot all about that one. That's an old one, too. when it comes back around, Joe, what have you been up to? You got anything fun and exciting you're up to today?
Okay, them fighting words. Over to you, Joe.
Well, nothing particular. Today is a casual day for me here at home. I did make a couple phone calls to a couple former classmates and talk to a couple people that try to keep in touch with that aren't ham radio operators, obviously. But we talk a little bit, kibitz, and kind of hash over who's still left and who's passed on. I had one fellow classmate I found out about last summer. He went to his cottage up north here in Michigan, and his wife tried to get a hold of him, couldn't get a hold of him. And they went up there to see what's up, and he's sitting in a chair with a drink in his hand, and that was it. That was his last moments on Earth. I guess when your number's called, there's no saying, hey, I'll take the next bus or whatever. I don't know. What do you think, KE4ZYQ?
Well, I think it'd be nice to go in your sleep when you don't really realize much of nothing kind of thing, but I don't know. This is getting kind of morbid now.
KFADTV. I'm just going to say that I'm actually insanely jealous of him. That man's last moments on Earth were spent doing something he loved to do. He was sitting on his front porch, staring out at the sky and enjoying his environment with a drink in his hand. He was comfortable and happy. I can't think of a better way to go.
Well, I hope both of you had a good New Year's celebration at home, no matter what you did or where you were. I kick back, relax, watch all the festivities on TV, whatever. A lot of football lately with some people I keep in contact with about football games, and texting with my first cousin in Modesto, California. He likes watching the playoff football games, so we don't have any dog in the hunt or anything, so we just watch, and we try to pick who's closest to the end score of the game. And so far, we're pretty equal. He's won a few, I've won a few. We don't bet on anything. We just do it amongst ourselves, text-wise, and watch it, and we may call and talk later some other day or something. But he's a good guy. He's a brother to me. More than a brother I still have. KE4ZYQ.
Well, Joe, I think New Year's Eve I was asleep by about 7 o'clock, so... I have no idea what happened there, but I didn't miss anything. And that does sound good. I hope when I go, it's either in my sleep or on the porch with my favorite HT smoking my cigar.
There are definitely worse ways there, Ricky. And what I did for New Year's, Lady and I, we throw an annual party for our friends, and we have anywhere from 8 to 20 people show up. Varies from one year to the next, and basically, we just put out a potluck buffet dinner, you know, play some card games, stuff like that. Gift exchange usually, because, you know, none of us see each other over Christmas or anything like that. And we ring in the New Year, and by 1 o'clock, 1:30, everybody's either headed for home, or the folks staying the night are bedded down. Always a good evening. We always have a good time doing it. And it's always peaceful. Nobody gets sloppy drunk or anything like that. At least once a year, we get together as friends to make sure, you know, we're all still around and we help to wake each other.
Yep, KE4ZYQ, that sounds nice. Oh, that's great for those that can have a gathering like that at whoever's house or wherever. Yeah, seriously, it sounds nice. Yeah, there's no need to get sloppy drunk or, you know, insulting or dangerous or whatever. You know, enjoy the time as it is. But I'll say one last thing about death, since we talked about that. I think old Shecky Green or one of these old comedians used to say something about, I'm not afraid of death, I just don't want to be there when it happens. Over to you, Chris. Or Keith. I'm okay. Over to you.
Yeah, Cliff, I had an old friend that was the same way. Went to school with, and New Year's Eve, he'd throw a big bash at his house kind of thing. Same thing, about a dozen and a half people kind of thing. And they had a nice bar in the basement and a real nice pool table there, so we'd go spend the evening there. But I don't know if they're still doing it or not, but they're not inviting me anymore. KAWO for ID. Cliff.
Yeah, she just reminded me, Ricky. Nobody took advantage of it this year. Because only like 8 people showed up this time around because the weather was so bad. But you just reminded me that basically the biggest room in my basement is set up as a dive bar, lay down the cheesy metal signs on the walls and all that stuff. But there's a working dart machine down there. I completely forgot about that.
Boy, can you towards you like that. I would have taken full advantage of that, Rick. I don't know about you. You and I might have been in competition if we were down in that basement with that dartboard. Yeah, I used to have a regular dartboard, not one that would keep track or score or anything, but yeah, that's a neat little game. Anybody can do it. It doesn't have to take muscle or anything, just technique and style and ability. But yeah, I could have pictured that one. What do you say, Rick?
Nope, I never was good at darts. Be lucky if I could hit the target most of the time. But shooting pool and all that was my thing. I kind of enjoyed that. Yeah, they had a hot tub outside on the back of the deck, and half the people would be over in the hot tub, and the other half would be down, a bunch down shooting pool or waiting to shoot pool, and the others would be sitting around the bar. Yeah, it was a pretty good time, but I don't think a whole lot of people, I guess a few of them tried driving home, but most of them just kind of crashed out wherever they were. It was good, the old day there. I'm not sure I could deal with that anymore.
KFATTV. Yeah, I always did want to have a pool table, but those things are huge. They're a pain in the butt to get down there, and it would have pretty much taken over that entire room, and I wouldn't have been able to do the other stuff that I do in that area. So, I like darts. I settled on the game, and yeah, it's a soft tip machine, so, you know, even if you miss the board, you're not going to hurt anything except maybe you break the tip on the dirt. And since I got thousands of those, we're good to go.
Well, I can understand the pool table thing. I always wanted one and liked it and liked to play and even have a breakdown pool stick. And I used to, when I worked in Tennessee and lived in Tennessee, a guy I used to work with in healthcare in the rehab center, he played pool. He was an avid player. I mean, he was good. And we'd go to the local pool hall downtown of the city we lived in, and I'd play him, and he would really try to play a little soft with me because he could beat me every time. And one day I put the pedal to the metal, and I tried to really play serious and hard. And I said, wouldn't it be funny if I was just sandbagging and just holding back? And he started shooting really serious, kicking me all over the table. I mean, he was playing me outrageous, like that guy, that professional, I can't remember his name, Massioni or something, whatever his name was. But anyhow, I love pool, though. I like to play. I haven't used my pool stick in a while.
Yeah, many, many, many decades ago, Oxford, where I went to high school there, in the evenings we'd spend our time hanging around Oxford. There's nothing in Oxford to do. So luckily a supermarket went out of business, and the guy put a pizza place and pool hall in there kind of thing, arcade and pool hall kind of thing. And they had a couple of foosball tables in there. Boy, that was a ball. Those things are kind of nice too, but I guess they're kind of expensive also. KEWJ.
Well, I used to have a foosball table in my basement. It was pretty inexpensive. You know, it was one of those particle board constructions that you pick up at Meijer or whatever it was. I think I paid like $125 for it. And it was down there for a number of years. And, you know, it was enjoyed by enough people to the point where they actually broke a couple of the legs. And I was just like, well, okay, you're done. I got to figure out something else now.
KE4ZYQ. Well, you know, the one game that I played growing up and had one in our basement of our family's house was ping pong table. I even bought one of those special padded ping pong paddles with two different sides to it. You know, I had that rubbery side on one that to do the spins a little easier, and just a basic side too. But my whole family, we used to have competitions amongst the siblings, and when we had a party at the house, guess where most of the people were, kids-wise, and even grown-ups playing ping pong. I actually painted a room wasn't being used, and it was all brick, and the brick, when I was painting it, the brick was falling off the wall. It was turned into powder because it's an old house. Over to you, Rick.
Yeah, that pizza pool hall place there, they had three big walls just full of the arcade kind of games, you know, kind of thing, and pool tables and foosball and air hockey. Air hockey was kind of fun too.
and a small place up front for the pizza stuff. And boy, these foosball tables they had in there, they were built like rocks. They took a lot of abuse. And it wouldn't surprise me none that somebody was still using those. But it was kind of, I'm glad it was here. It was kind of a fun place for us to all hang out. Plus, nobody had cell phones back then, so if you wanted to try to find out where everybody was at, you'd go to that place and, you know, somebody would go, oh, yeah, him and so-and-so took off to here or there or whatever kind of thing. So it was kind of home base, I guess. Cliff, go ahead.
Well, you guys mentioned arcade, and then you made me turn around basically and look something up on the Internet. There's a company out there called AT Games, and they have a machine called the Legends Ultimate. It's an upright arcade-type machine. They sell for like $600, and actually they sell anywhere from $600 up to about $2,000 a piece, but they literally have hundreds of arcade games built into them. And I'm sitting there going, you know, I kind of want one of those for my basement.
Wow, that sounds neat. If you don't mind taking the time to look my call sign up on QRZ with an email, maybe you could send that link to me. I'd be interested to look at it. Very seriously. I got a relative, a nephew of mine.
All right, I don't know if anybody can hear me, but the Mount Clemens repeater, ACHLMP 443.65, got stuck on somehow or another.
NAWRO, yeah, I see it on the dashboard, Cliff. He's not hearing us direct. I'll catch Sean on the P25. NAWRO, bump stuck on.
All right, copy that. Thanks, Tim. Appreciate it.
Just fine, Cliff, and you too, WRO.
Did I lose you guys, KE4ZYQ?
Yeah, hi, Joe. The NAWRO here in Richmond seemed to be some kind of a problem with the UMP repeater, the Mount Clemens one. But it seems to be okay now. So NAWRO clear. How about Cliff, if you're still out there? Go ahead, Cliff.
Cliff, can you hear me? I can hear you just fine.
Yes, everybody, I'm still here. I got you in there, Ricky, and you, Tim, and you, Joe. I can hear everybody again, and it's quit doing whatever it was that we were doing.
Seemed like the Bob Clements set it all off, because that's what I was on. Last time I transmitted, everything went dead, KE4ZYQ.
Yeah, the ump looked like it was stuck there, but it's all set now. So I'm going to clear out, guys. Continue. NAWRO, y'all have a good one.
Hey, Cliff, you still out there? KEWOJ on the FBI warrant.
Yes, gentlemen, I am still here. And basically, while they were fixing things or letting sort out a cell tower or whatever, I was busy looking up Joe's email address so I can send him a link to those machines. Is your email at QRZ valid, Ricky? Because I'll send you a link. I'll send you the link as well.
KE4ZYQ is still on frequency, hopefully making the trip to the FBI.
KFAGPZ. Yeah, you made it in there, Joe. I'm just waiting to hear back from Ricky, too, to see if he's still making it in there, because he was coming in through the Detroit repeater.
Yep, just saw that. KE4ZYQ, standing by.
KFAGPZ also standing by. I got to get back to Rex on that package, but I will be monitoring. It's good talking to you again, Joe. Been a while. Ricky, if you can hear me, it's good talking to you too, and I will be listening for when you come back out here. KFAGPZ, monitoring. KE4ZYQ from KFAGPZ. The link is in your email.
Yep, KE4ZYQ, waiting for the package.
And I'm back to monitoring, KFAGPZ.
And KE4ZYQ, package received.
Copy that.
W8FU, I think the UMP is down.
Yeah, so he's on LPS from the time off and dropped off.
The UMP had a participle there for a while. It was like a stuck on a dead key, and then it cleared itself up, and I've not heard any problems with it since until you just mentioned it.
Well, I just got in the car and keyed up on it and didn't hear a hang time, so I thought, And then my radio scanned over to TJ's machine. When Tom jumped in there, so I said, okay, we got problems. 101. Have to perhaps deal with it when I get home. Send it a bump. I think I can do that. I'm not even sure anymore. Tom?
I'm still here. I'm over here on the edge of Marysville. I guess we're granted M. I guess that's what you want to say. So, look at how that Richmond is doing good.
Go ahead, Donald.
If you guys get me,
yeah, hearing you just fine. I thought it was Donald's turn, so I was turning it over to him, waiting for him. So, but yeah, I hear you just fine. You're a little popcorny, but no problem. Sorry, I missed my turn. I was grabbing a bite from lunch.
Yeah, I think I heard Jeff chirp up on T25, and he's probably looking into it.
So you're in Marysville, mashup of St. Clair and Marysville. I just saw a place advertised, and I don't think it's the first time I'd ever heard of it, but you probably know it. There's some sort of a bakery, coffee place over there that's getting a lot of press lately. It's supposed to be really nice.
Coco Bella's in St. Clair.
That's it. How do you know about that?
Oh, I may have passed it 1,000 times. Go again, Cujo.
Are they fresh donuts? Is that what it is? Or are they fresh cakes and cookies and sugary things?
We'll let Nick fill that one, because that's his stomping ground. Nick, for a second, I thought you were Fred. I said, why would you know about that? But it makes sense now. Let us know. What is Coco Bella's? I saw it on the YouTubes yesterday, and it was all like, look at that.
As far as your pastries and baked goods, no donuts at all. And then they, it's kind of like, they said it's more of a European theme. And it's a little out of my price range. I haven't gone inside of it, but I've gone by it. And you can never get in there because there's never any parking and always the line and backed up. So something must be good, but a little out of my price range.
That bar hat over there in Madison Heights, Troy area is supposed to be really good for sweets and everything in Italy. I heard they got a really good baklava there, so I think I gotta stop by. Sean.
I went there for the first time over the holidays. I was looking for some Dubai chocolate. They didn't get Dubai chocolate anywhere, but I figured I'd go right to a place that specializes in that kind of stuff. Yeah, it was all right, but man, oh man, did that place have the pastries. Oh my God. You name it, they had it. It's very weird. The decor of that place, the way it's marked, I thought it was some sort of bubblegummy kind of little kids, ice cream place or something. I had no idea. The frontage doesn't match the actual, what it is at all, in my opinion. But that place is really good. You got to go in there and check it out. I'm guessing it's going to be that Coco Bella's is going to be a little bit closer to that, or what's the pastry shop down on Mac? Just as you get into Grosse Pointe Woods. I can't remember the name of it, but I'm guessing that Coco Bella's is going to be like that.
Yeah, I can't remember the name one, the one in the woods there either. But yeah, you're probably right. It's probably on the same plane as that. It used to be an old hardware store that this person bought it, completely gutted it, redid it. They do all the baking there, everything, the whole nine yards. But what it reminds me of is like a shop at Disney Springs down in Florida. That's what it reminds me of, the way that it's built in frontage, inside there, things of that nature. But that's just me.
Bomberitos!
That's another bakery, Bomberitos Bakery. Now, see, for ice cream, I like to go to that little ice cream candy shop. And they got some salted candy in there. And I'll fill up there.
Well, I love me some Bomberitos, but that's old world Italian. And, you know, these new exotic pastry pieces. I think they are kind of Euro because, you know, a lot of torts and cakes and things like that. So it's not traditional. I mean, it's high-end stuff. You know, it's very, very, it has a high presentation, you know, and I think they do the espresso bar. You know, they actually have espresso drinks there. So it'd be a good place to go get yourself a, you know, a little cake and a, you know, and a cappuccino or something like that. Right up my alley. And yeah, Nick, you're right. It's a little pricey, but you know what? You treat yourself to something like that every couple of months. You know, just you're out on a nice on a morning and it's, you can sleep in, sneak in there, sneak in and get yourself a cup of cappuccino and something that looks gooey. Why not?
Bad thing is they don't drink coffee, and then the other place he was talking about, Marine City, Sweet Tooth, they actually have one in Marine City. They actually have a second store in St. Clair in the mall downtown. So I would agree with you. I like going there, too, for ice cream and other goodies. The Marine City store has it by the pound. The St. Clair store is all prepackaged on the candy.
I don't know about you, Nick, but Tom, in your travels, have you been by this new donut place that sells? They're more like cinnamon rolls, but they're donuts, and you know, and they're like cinnamon roll in construction, but they're the toppings are like, you know they probably have one that's like a cinnamon roll, but they got, you know, 20 different choices as well. The name will come to me. It's not something that pops right in my mind. First one I went to was Don Anthony's recommendation over on, it was on Mac in the woods. Maybe it was in the Shores. I don't know. It was right there near the border. And now they're building another one at 16 Mile and DeQuinner. So that one will be on my way to work. So good grief.
Okay, I can't say that I have. I haven't been down in the woods area there for quite a while. I've been working west side and up here in Port Huron on the west side over Ann Arbor. I haven't touched Grosse Pointe woods in like a few months.
Yeah, I can't say that I have been there either. So it's getting quite foggy up here. It's crossed into St. Clair County on the expressway, but it's pretty foggy up here. No, trying to get back in the rhythm of work.
I literally just put it out of my mind. I just, Monday morning, I said, you are in for a full week, so don't even think about it. Just put your head down and get to the grind. So I haven't been thinking about it. Tomorrow I'll go in and I'll say, well, at least I made it to home thing. But there's no easy way to get these first few weeks pounded out. We do get MLK. I think that's coming up here in the middle of the month, so we do get a long weekend. I don't like to burn any time early in the year. I like to bank it all up and take it in the at the earliest in the summer. I still take a few here and there, but for the most part, I like to bank it for the second, third, and fourth quarter.
I'm going to try to take more vacation time this year. You know, I'm not on call for 2 weeks in August. I might make 2 week vacation right there. 1 week for the fair and the other week prior to the fair. Maybe just take some time off and get some stuff done. Who knows?
WARCY. There's Bakehouse 46 in Ferndale, and I know they got more than one location. That's a pretty unique place for baked goods and pastries. It's on 9 Mile.
just west of Woodward, just west of the Java Hut on the same side, which would be the south side. Bakehouse, excuse me, Italian food. Bakehouse 46, it's called. I think Sean went there once. I thought he mentioned it. I could be wrong.
Nope. I've done the Java Hut and the Red Hook and a few other things, but that one does not ring a bell. Or if I did, I'm forgetting.
Yeah, you mentioned Red Hook, yeah. So that was the one you went through, but Big House 46 is kind of unique and a little quickie, but from what I've heard, the Sarah family, family members kind of are a part of it, so they're pretty known for their products. But, it's like I said, 9 miles west of Woodward, just west of the Java Hut, same side of the street. W8RCY, going back to Evie.
I guess I'll jump back to the vacation. Yeah, I took a couple of days at the end of the month, only because I got the place down south, and when it's cheap to go, it's kind of nice to go in the winter when it's the doldrum here. It's just decent there for a couple of days, get some sun, and helps on that old seasonal depression issues. Then I go back at the end of February for like 8 days or something like that, so... If I didn't have that place, I probably wouldn't take any vacation time in the first quarter as well, but with that, I just take a few days. But I earn it as soon as, I mean, I'm getting a day a pay period, so for me to get up to my camp out, it doesn't take me very long.
Make sure I got it. Yeah, so the conditions of my employment right now are a little different than they were prior to my drop. I'm on the drop, so I'm in a use it or lose it scenario. They literally dump my entire bank. I don't earn it anymore. They give me everything that I'm entitled to on day one of the year, but it's use it or lose it by the last day of the year. It's kind of a weird situation, and I can't bank any sick. They give me 6 sick days a year. And they'll pay me 3 back if I don't use them. And I'm pretty successfully getting those 3 paid back to me every year. So I make it a point to use the 3 because the other 3 are use it or lose it. And I take mostly PTO. And but we got a pretty generous, you know, situation at our place. You know, I get tons of PTO time, and I can take a PTO for sick. As long as I, you know, put in for it correctly and before the shift starts. So I tend to do that and then keep those limited number of sick days I got. But every once in a while I gotta use one. Like, you know, I was really sick and I didn't get up and didn't wake up till 10, 11 o'clock because I was sick or something. Well, of course, didn't get the PTO in on time, so that's a sick day. That don't happen a lot.
Did they give you a 6-year drop, or what did they cut it at?
Whatever you were earning at the time you went, you switched to the drop. I don't know if you guys got the drop at your place, but whatever you were accumulating. But since you don't earn, you know, and you can't bank anymore, they give you everything you would earn on January 1. So that way, if you want to go to, you know, take a 2-week European trip on, you know, in the middle of January, you know, you can, because, you know, it would, you know, otherwise, you know, you wouldn't be able to go until you earned enough time to do it. So they give it all up front, but the condition is that, like, let's say I took 2 weeks off, you know, in the first 2 weeks of January off, I then have to work long enough into the year to have normally earned that, or I got to pay them back. So if I leave their employ before I work long enough to have the 2 weeks I took off back in January, I would have to pay them back. It's a weird situation, but it's a contingency of the drop plan.
Yeah, the only ones that can get it at our place are MSPPA members, troopers. Trooper sergeants, any enlisted folks can get it. Other than that, nobody else can get the drop program. It kind of sucks, but it is what it is. No, how long, what was your length of your drop program? Could you pick? Because I know like ours is, you can do a 2, 3, 4, 5, or 6 years. It's just depending on what you wanted to do.
5 year, not a day more, not a bit. Well, I mean, you can leave early, but 5 year max. And as long as you remain, you know, there, you know, for that entire 5 years, they'll pay your retirement, you know, into a fund in the interest-bearing account. But they stop after five. If you go past five, which I am past, then they're no longer paying into that fund. So, you know, you could make the argument that I'm actually working there for a fraction of my pay because I could sit at home and get, you know, X percent of my pay. So that's a stinger, but what are you going to do?
Yeah, there's been some talk that they might pop it over to civilian, but it'd be different than the troopers, but I don't see it happening. So they lose too many people in a bad way at all at a bad time, all at once. That would be horrible.
I don't think they have had any problem with that. I think the drop was good for them. The drop was good for the employee. Everybody won on the drop. The only thing that, you know, it is, if you don't have a defined benefits pension, how do you define the drop? You got to have a pension. No pension, the point of a drop.
Yeah, and that's why the state will never go through it, because everybody knew is 401. There's very, 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 very few left on the EB plan. Yeah, very few.
All right. I just passed it. It's called Parlor Donuts. You ever hear of it, Tom? Parlor Donuts?
Yeah, I think I've heard of them. Can't remember where they're at.
Well, the one that Anthony turned me on to is right there on, I think it's Mac. I'm not 100% sure, but I think it's Mac. Somewhere, you know, right around Vernier. You know, so it's down there close to the St. Clair Shores, Rose Point Woods border, I think, on Mac. That's the first one I went to, and the only one I've ever gone to. But they're opening one right here on 16 Mile Road and kind of kitty corner from Farhat, over in the Target strip malls out in front of Target.
I wonder if they'll have the nice big apple fritters that are all crunchy when you eat them. Those are my favorite. And then the cinnamon rolls. And then, of course, then the regular raised donuts with the custard inside of them. But when it comes to the bear claws or the apple fritters, oh, those are the best when they're fresh made and they're crunchy.
Well, I'm going to jump out of here. I've got to make a stop on the way home. I'm almost to it. So, good talking with you guys. Always. Catch you later. 7-3. To be in NFC.
All right, Nick. Catch you later. I don't know where you're at, but you're sounding good. So, that moto is doing the moto thing. WARCY is back on. Parlor Donuts has multiple locations, one's in St. Clair Shores, 30128 Harper, that's got to be near 13 Mile, one up in Lake Orion on Lapeer, the one that you're mentioning, Sean, 2520 Metro Parkway, Sterling Heights, and then there's one up in Bay City that I see so far. There might be more, but those are the four or five that I see, so... yeah, so they got at least four locations. Big House 46 has like five or six locations all the way out towards Ann Arbor and places like that. So, yeah, pretty popular places and multiple locations for sure. WARCY. Well, they got to be missing one of the locations, because there's another one that's either in Shores or Grosse Pointe Woods. It's very close. It's down there. I do remember seeing on the website that there was one further up in St. Clair Shores, up, like you said, around 13. But they also definitely had one down farther. And 2525 is one that's not open yet, the one that's going to open up here on Metro Parkway. So when that opens, Tom, I'll let you know, and then you can swing in and check it out. It's pretty interesting. I can't eat that stuff. So, you know, as a matter of fact, I wanted to, in addition to Farhat, on the southwest corner next to McDonald's, there's another Middle Eastern pastry place that looks really cool. And I always want to stop in there, but I can't eat any of the crap. If I go in there and look at it, what am I going to do, just kick tires and leave? So I never go in. But one of these days I want to go in there. Maybe if I've got a family event coming up where I can make the excuse to buy something.
Yeah, I'm trying to cut back on that. And, yes, donuts are my downfall. But, hey, I'm staying under 180 pounds, and I really don't eat out as much anymore. So every once in a while I'll treat myself to a donut. And it's got to be, like I said, a big fat apple fritter or bear claw. So I'm going to keep watch for that place. I know there's another donut place down here off of like Little Mac and 10 Mile or 10 and Harper. And they're pretty good too.
I see Delight Bakery and Cafe on Mac at Brise. And Brise is the city border between Grosse Pointe and St. Clair Shores on Mac, just as it turns into a boulevard. And it's on the west side of the street. And it's a couple blocks from Parlor Donuts. Oh, okay, yeah, that's the one. The only one I heard you say in St. Clair Shores was 13 Mile, near 13 Mile. But that's the one. And I went there. And it's pretty cool. It's worth checking out. Sugar, I can't, it's not something I can really do. So I went there and I got like a couple for my wife, and I got one blueberry one for me that I would pick at, and it was just, it was just way too sugary, the one that I picked for me. It literally was a sugar bomb. So I picked at a little bit of it, and I said, yeah, I can't do this. I don't know if they're all like that. Probably not. But in general, there's not going to be anything in there that's in my wheelhouse, if you will. And I gotta get the weight down and get exercising a bit, and get the metabolism back working, and then I can sneak something like that a little bit, every now and again. But right now I haven't been doing any of that. So you can't be sedentary, stop the exercise, not eating right, not watching your portions, and sneak donuts. You only get to do that if you're doing all the other stuff right.
I treat myself
in no particular order.
My A1C went down to 5.4. My cholesterol is way below 200. And I've kept my weight off. So every so often I'll treat myself to a donut. My coworker just shakes his head. But I'll walk it off too. I'll burn it off. And I don't drink a lot of caffeine, so I got that going for me too. So if I want to treat myself to a donut, gosh darn it, I'm going to treat myself to a donut. But it's going to be a good donut. Hey, Joe.
Yeah, hell yeah, you've earned it. Those are great numbers. You're under 200 and 5.4. And I know, I saw you yesterday. Your weight's under control. No, you've definitely earned a sneak in one now and again. Hey, it's all moderation. Donald, was that you that doubled with Tom? I'm not sure if there was a third party. Go ahead, but I think it was Donald.
Yeah, it was probably me. As I'm looking at the area here in the Mac corridor, I see a place called the Yolk, like Egg Yolk Brunch House. I don't know how long ago that opened. I don't remember seeing it, but it's by the big Shell station, about halfway between 9 Mac Drive and the city border there for Grosse Pointe. It looks like a nice, interesting little diner.
I might have to check that out next time I'm down on the shores, grab a bite to eat for breakfast, see what that's all about.
Well, I'm familiar with Yolk and Toast on Grosbeck and Martin. The place is excellent. If you're ever in that area, the place ain't big, and so sometimes it's pretty crowded. But the food is excellent. The place is really good.
Well, it's built and connected to the big Shell station there on Mac, and I've never, I mean, as much as up and down, like I said, I'm up and down the Mac corridor and Harbor corridors between 8 and 9 mile roads. When I go down that way, when I rent a car every other month or so, I just don't remember seeing it. And as I'm tooling through here, the area, looking for coffee houses, I see this, and this looks kind of new. I'm trying to pull up the website to see how long it's been open, but that might be a nice little cozy place. I'll try one day for breakfast when I'm down on that side of town again. The Yolk, Y-O-L-K.
N-A-B-B-F. So, Dakota, we went from talking about exercising and watching what we eat to talking about donuts and pastries. So welcome to the afternoon switch-up. We've come full circle. I don't know who gets it next, but go ahead. I'll jump in the rotation.
What do you know? A Motorola battery died. I got to go switch batteries. I'll be right back.
What do you know? I'm still driving. Going from Port Huron, and I'm going over here to Harrison Township, and then back over to Wally to pick up my back phone. Go ahead, Dakota. Your turn, and good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon, everybody. I just realized my truck doesn't even say how many miles left to empty. It just says low, so give me about 5 minutes here. I'm pulling into Meyer to fuel up. I'll be back shortly at ATBF.
All righty, I am about a half mile from my house, so I may or may not be in here when you get back. Drive safe. It's wet and foggy. Anyhow, what was I going to say? I was going to say something about something, and now I can't remember. I got about a half mile to figure it out. Otherwise, it wasn't important.
Okay, I got a full battery
back on my radio. I don't know what happened there. That battery should have lasted me close to 12 hours, and it didn't even last me 10 hours, 11 hours. Yeah, it died about an hour early. That's weird. Anyhow, we're talking food, Dakota, again. But, and I had a pizza bowl for lunch from Marco's. That's what I was chomping on earlier. So, I don't weigh myself, but I'm kind of like loaded from everything that I ate during the holidays. And, of course, prime rib and all the fixings is a tradition in the family. Even though that was 2 weeks ago, I still feel the remnants of it. So, yeah, I'll get back on the horse and get back on the saddle and do what I have to do. I will not see my heart. I was supposed to, like, normally see my heart doctor today, first Tuesday of the month, but I switched heart doctors because I'm no longer with Corewell Health. I've got a new doctor with Henry Ford, and he's right next door at the hospital, so much easier to get to.
Okay, to jump ship and squirrel out here, since I got Dakota and Sean still here. That Yagi antenna, Dakota, can I put that, I know it's got to be either horizontal or vertical, but I have a 10-12 peak inside my attic. Can I just mount that in the rafters and have it at like a kind of a 50-degree, 45-degree angle facing south, and still get to Mount Clemens, or do I need full vertical polarization on it?
You can, but if I were you, what I would do is I'd get two little eyelets and run them into your peak trusses and then put some string hanging down and figure out a way. You could probably wrap it around an element, like half wrap it, and then just suspend it vertically. I think that's going to be your best
best result for just doing as much as you can with the antenna inside. Sean will know more than me, but that's how I would do it. I know there's guys who will, like, cant verticals for sideband and stuff, so I don't know. I'm not super privy on the polarity, but I know that you kind of want to match polarity of what you're trying to work.
All right, that's what Lance said, too. Do a vertical polarity on it. So he goes, unless you're doing sideband, I'm like, no. It's just to get me on 47, dude, get me down and, you know, down to the UMP, you know, if possible. So that's what I'll do. Maybe I'll put some, couple wood pieces down and monitor the wood piece so it's vertical going towards the back of the house.
KSA GPZ, break.
Hello, Cliff, go ahead. We got Dakota, and I think Sean's might have met his destination. KJO.
All right, copy that. I just wanted to pass the word along. You know, I haven't listened to you guys for a while. The ump is dead in both directions. It's not retransmitting anything you guys are saying, and it's not responding to CUFs at all. It is completely down.
You talking about the UMP in Mount Clemens? Yeah, I think that's working on it.
All right, I didn't know if anybody knew or anything like that. I just wanted to pass the word along at it, what I had observed at it. And I want to get back to doing the things that I was doing. So to Dakota and Sean, if you guys are listening, and you come, I'm going to say 73 and back on out of here. KFA DPZ, current monitoring.
Sounds good, Cliff, and I'm about to hit my destination. So Dakota, I'll chat with you when I get out of here. KACAKJO.
I just put 21 gallons in my 23-gallon tank. I think I could have made it home.
Nah, you don't want to risk that. I mean, I don't know how close the closest gas station is to your place. I've got an idea where you're at because I GPSed your location once, and it's like, man, that's out in the boonies for sure. But sometimes you just don't want to risk it. And the weather's crappy. If it was a nice day, that'd be different. That's just my opinion. Good afternoon, and W8RCY is on air. I just had a pizza bowl for lunch, and I'm good now for the rest of the day. I just, you know, late lunch, really, 3 o'clock. But, yeah, so I'm kind of stuffed.
I don't know if anyone's still out here. Sorry. No, I know. I don't plan on running my vehicles out of gas. It's only ever happened one time, and that's because my fuel gauge was an eighth of the tank off. I was coming back from Grand Rapids, going home to my apartment up in Big Rapids, and I was like 10 miles away from the gas station, not even, probably 5. And 10 miles from home, 5 from the gas station. I was going uphill, and the car just lost power, and I had to pull over and call a tow truck. They brought me like 2 gallons of fuel, and that got me to the closest gas station. So it never has happened since. I'm usually pretty diligent about not doing it. I just thought to go to my gas station. There's one literally, I can see it from my house.
I filled this thing up. It says 0 miles, and I filled it up and looks here. Came down from Flint. All right, I got to get inside. My coworker's staring at me. Talk to you guys soon. KCKJO.
Have a good one, Cujo. Yeah. Big Rapids, 3rd Street in Maine, little downtown area. I remember it, and I was still in my single digits. My mom's sister lived on 3rd at Maine, west of the bridge that crossed the river, west of that intersection. I believe it was west. My memory serves me correct. Yeah, fond memories of Big Rapids for sure. Ferris State College. I never went there, but we had friends that went there, and so on and so forth. Nice little town for sure. I have a niece. My mom's sister has one surviving daughter that still lives there. She's lived there all her life. I don't think she knows of anything outside of that city. Deeply rooted for sure.
Later, Tom. Yeah, Big Rapids will always hold a special place in my life. I spent a lot of time there, about 4.5 years. And to the point where I don't remember if I came home on summer. No, I did come home on the summer, in the summer, because I had to work like a responsible adult. But lived in the same apartment for pretty much 4 years and then graduated and moved home.
Yeah, Highway 20 cuts through there, which I think they do call Maine, and there's a traffic light there, and which I think was, I remember, 3rd Street, so 3rd Maine. I could be wrong because it's been 60 years since I've been there. I think I've only driven through the town once or twice on my way coming back from the Manistee area from fishing with the guys back in the late 70s. I went through that town a couple of times, and I asked them to stop, and I wanted to see if my mom's sister's house was still standing, and it was, and I don't know if it's still standing now, but yeah, like I said, I have fond memories of the neighborhood back then, even though it was in my single digits, and it was probably 60 years ago or so, but yeah. Anyway, so that's about it with me, and I'm just chilling here on the couch. Like I said, I just ate, and that's it for me tonight. Back to you, Dakota.
I lived off of 14 Mile Road, so that was like the southernmost part of the campus. I was actually off campus, but like a mile south of campus was 14 Mile Road, and I lived in an apartment complex over there. So I didn't venture too far north unless it was going to like a house party or something at a couple buddies' houses that lived up there. But it was very, very rare that I crossed that bridge, but I think I know what you're talking about. There's a Napa Auto Parts over there, and there's like a park and stuff. At least there was when I was there, how long ago? Wow, it's been 10 years since I graduated. That's insane.
I'm trying to GPS it right now, but the other thing I remember, we were there for a funeral when my mom's sister's first husband passed away, and we actually walked from the house to the funeral home, and I remember crossing that main bridge. It's got like an angled slope to it. It's like a nice little nice little roadway you can skateboard down, and like I said, my memory from 60 years ago may not be that great, but it's just, you know, it's like you just hear the name Big Rapids, and I said, oh, yeah, what great memories. I also need to get back up to Marquette before I'm too old to make that nine-hour drive. I'd like to go back up there. My sister went to college up there in the late 60s, and the big thing up in Marquette was Bunny Bread, Big Bread manufacturing plant. It's gone. The ore docks, there's only one ore dock left. Big structures that load the iron ore. There's only one left. And a couple other things. Presque Isle is in that area as well. But places I would like to get back to one more time before I can't do that kind of driving.
I'm trying to think. Is that where Tech is?
Northern Michigan University is in Marquette. Tech is in, I think, Houghton, and then Lake Superior State College is further north up the peninsula from Michigan Tech, but I can't think of the name of the city or town that Lake Superior State's in.
That's what it is, Houghton. My sister's alumni from Michigan Tech, and then she's actually got a house up there. She still lives there. Never been. Now, the only time I've ever crossed the Mackinac Bridge was to go to Mackinac Island, which I hate that place with a passion. Never going back. But I've never been to the UP.
Hancock, WIW.
Did somebody mention Hancock, I guess, for Lake Superior State? Thank you for that information.
Yeah, I spent a couple semesters at Michigan Tech. Didn't really work out for me. Pursued other plans, but unfond memories of the UP. I have fond memories of the UP and unfond ones, but the year I was up there, They had one of the worst winters they ever had, and Michigan Tech was open for I don't know how many decades, almost 100 years or something, and in its entirety, it had only closed twice due to snow, and the year I was up there, they closed because of the snow. WIM.
Yeah, I never ventured that far up. Marquette is as far up as I've gotten in my lifetime, but like I said, my sister went there. I was only like 9, 10, 11, and 69. And, well, 13, really, because I was born in 56. But, yeah, Bunny Bread was the big thing up there. And Dakota, over to you, sir. And I did find a funeral home. It's still there and it's still in business. Maybe a different name. They're in Big Rapids off the main drag.
Yeah, I got to make the trip to the UP. My dad loves it up there. He's like, ah, oh, this is the most beautiful place ever. I'm sure it is, but it's like, dude, I'm not driving 9 hours to go look at freaking trees, okay? He's got a side-by-side, so he goes up there and rips trails and all that, but it's just not... I'm not someone that can sit in a car for that long to go do that. Like, no. Anywhere, my rule of thumb is if it's over 5 hours of flying.
Well, for what it's worth, at least the way I drive, I can get across the bridge in about 3.5 hours. A buddy of mine used to have a cabin about 20 miles the other side of the bridge. Been up there probably a dozen times. But anyway, I just jumped in to throw the Hancock thing in there. I'll let you carry on. WIM.
Well, thank you again for the information, and you have a good afternoon for sure. But, yeah, just to close on Big Rapids there, the funeral home is still there, same location that we could walk to. I've got a GPS on my phone, and, yeah, I would say maybe down the hill, across the bridge, and then it's, oh, shucks, I lost the screen here, but about three blocks west of the bridge on Warren Avenue and Elm Street, corner of Warren and Elm. Yeah, places are still there, for sure. So, all right, I will let you go because you're going to probably land pretty soon, and I'll let you have a nice relaxing evening. You take care, and we'll probably catch you in the morning. So all the best, WEHRCY. Thanks for the mentioning of Big Rapids. Now that's what I'm going to be looking at tonight.
All righty, you guys have a good night. Yeah, not too far from home here. Traffic's traffic because it's wet out, but I will be out here in the morning. Might even be out here later this evening, depending on how motivated I am. I was telling Sean, well, I told both of you guys this morning, I got to turn on the damn radio when I get home. I haven't done that in a while. All right, I'll catch everyone later. At 8, CBS.
WYAM, W8RIT, are you still around, Arpan?
WADD, KCKJO. WADD, KCKJO. Hi, who else is out there, KCKJO? I heard it, but I didn't hear it. Oh, there you go. Okay. Trying to reach Wally because he's got my bat phone over at his office, and I'm not sure if he's there or not.
You're getting a bat phone? I had one before. They were cool.
I've had my ID for a while, and, then I was talking, I just happened to be in Troy and asked Sean and Wally if they needed anything because the shop is right around the corner. And they said that they didn't have any, so Wally ordered it and had them shipped, and then I went to his house to pick it up and program mine. But then I was missing some features or some different settings, and I couldn't get it to work, so I dropped it off with him last night, and he called me this morning and said it was ready to go.
Yeah, you got mine, 2020-21, with, doing online e-testing. We used Handshake Hotline before they shut that down. Conference bridge there, and be able to talk to each other and whatnot, and not be going through the test session. So, that was one of the tools we had. I had that for a while, but all the guys around here started getting into it. But hey, there, you got one of
those. Well, I heard about it, I was talking about getting one, and all of a sudden it just went out of my mind, and I just happened to be in the area where the seller's at. I'm like, hey. And then followed Sean and Wally's protocol and did the will call thing and got one ordered. So I'm half camping out, just got to get it. I got the 525G like everybody else, and I got the sidecar on it, so that was a gift from Sean.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to say. You got a 504, so it's a little dumber version of it, but for what I was using it for, it worked just fine. So it didn't need the fancy color screen, and saw what it really gained, but I guess the 525 has Bluetooth too, but that was not really what I was looking for. Eventually got the sidecar. Program everybody in there, and you can see the lights will light up with different colors.
Give me a couple minutes, I'm going to call Walter and see where he's at, because I know his shop closes in the next 10 minutes, I think. I'll be back to KCKO.
Yeah, KFA, AYL.